Tonight's shiur is on the subject of Tekiya Shofar. And we may end up going into two shiurim on the subject. I think we will. But the core of it will be covered tonight. And as you'll see, there's room for homework for all of us independently and then to come back next week and really grow into this basic idea. So let me just begin with the psukim that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about of how we know exactly how to blow shofar. I'm not going to get into all the Gemaras. It's quite confusing there. Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis, Daf Lamed Dalid. But basically, there's a few psukim in the Chumash that talk about blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah. One is in Parshas Emor, and it reads, two psukim there, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber B'nei Yisrael Lemor, speak to Klal Yisrael and say, to them, B'chodesh HaShvi'i, B'echad HaChodesh, Yiyeh Lachem Shabboson, right, on the seventh month, the first day of that month, you should have Shabboson, which is a Yantif, Zichron Teruah, a remembrance of Teruah, Mikra Kodesh, a holy Mikra, gathering, a calling, convocation. But the day is called Zichron Teruah, a remembrance with or of Teruah, which we'll have to translate soon. Parshas Pinchas, the pasuk reads, Uvachodesh Hashvi Be'echad HaChodesh, on the seventh month, on the first day of the month, Mikra Kodesh, Yalachem, Kol Melecha Savodo Lo Sasu, don't do any Melecha, Yom Teruah, Yalachem, a day of Teruah should be for you. So it's a Zichron Teruah, it's a Yom Teruah. What does that mean? So we learn exactly what to do from another part of the Torah, exactly what the musical sentence sounds like, like everyone's familiar, Tekiya, Shvarim, Teruah, Tekiya, and all that, but the sequence of the notes. We learn that, the Gemara says, from Rabbi Akiva's opinion, there's a machlekes there, but the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis, from the Chatzotzros in the Midbar. In Parshas Baaloscha, let me just read you a few psukim, if you want to look along with me, if you have a chumash, great, otherwise just listen in. In Perek Yud, in Bamidbar, it reads as follows. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Asei lecha shtei chatzotzos, make for you two trumpets, or two horns, or whatever they are, two silver trumpets, kesef, miksha, taseh osam. So it's hammered out, trumpets are made of silver. V'hayu lecha lemikra ha'eda. They should be for you when you want to call the group. Ulamasa, and for traveling, as a machanos, to inform everybody that it's time to travel. So either or, that's what you should do, make these trumpets. Okay, so it goes on, v'saku bohem, you'll blow on them, you'll do a tekiya, blow on them, v'noadu elecha kol ha'eda. And the whole community will show up to you, al pesach o moed. So this is where the Torah, again, we said it's two things. It's l'mikra eda and it's l'masa. It's for calling people over to the Mishkan. It's also for traveling, to let them know it's time to go. So this is where it's just l'mikra, to call them, you need to speak. There's a public announcement about to happen. So here it says, v'noadu elecha, they'll meet you by the entrance to the Mishkan. V'yimba achas yisko, if you blow only one of the trumpets, v'no'adu elecha ha'nasiyim. So if you only blow one trumpet, then all the nasiyim will show up to the Mishkan. Rashi Alfa Yisrael, those are the heads of Klal Yisrael. U'sakatem trua. So again, two trumpets, so because it's plural, I suppose, that means everybody's supposed to show up. If it's only one trumpet, everybody knows, no, they're not talking to everybody. This is for just specific, unique people. That's only Nesim will show up. There's some sort of a leadership gathering. So when there's one trumpet, everybody knows it's just the Nesim, two trumpets, and it's just the tekiya, yisku'u, right? It says a tekiya, besaku bahen, just the tekiya, a single note. Then you show up and you hear some sort of announcement. Usukatim trua, now the word trua shows up. usukatim trua, but when you have a trua, v'nasu hamachanos hachonim kedma. So then the ones who are in the east start traveling, and then it goes on to say, then the next group moves on, those in the south pick up after that. So there's a Rashi here, in Pasuk Hei, usukatim trua, who tells us the sequence of leaving was the following. Simon Masa Machanos, the sign, or the way to know when they were traveling in the Midbar, when they blew these silver trumpets, of when it's time to go, was Tekiah, Teruah, Usakiah. That's how we, when they did that, everybody knew we're going to be traveling now. Kahu Nidrish B'Safri Min HaMakros HaYisarim. So we darshan this out, because I'll darshan this out. We're not going to get into all the technicalities of how they figured that out. But here's the story. We have just one tekiah means show up, whether that's for everybody. So then you have two trumpets doing that. Or if it's just the Nesiim, one trumpet. But just the tekiah says show up. But tekiah, trua, tekiah, whatever trua means, we still have to explain what is trua. But that sequence means we're going to be moving somewhere now. Okay, so let me share with you from the words of Rav Hirsch, what exactly, how do these signs, how do these musical notes tell anybody that it's time to move? And how does that translate to what we do by Rosh Hashanah? Because Chazal learn from Gzeirah Shavah, from the Chatzotzros, all the way back to Rosh Hashanah. So he says as follows. So he says like this. Hold on. The plain note calls different elements into one direction. So, in other words, if you're just supposed to show up, one tekiah will get you there. Everyone, stop what you're doing, go to one place, show up at the front of the Mishkan. While the broken one, which is, that's the word trua, which needs explaining exactly why we do it the way we do, but we'll get into that later. The broken one causes an upheaval, a violent shaking, a movement. Thus, the note ordering the breaking up of the camp summoned, number one, minds that were spread over various occupations, everyone was doing their own thing, whether that was the Nesiim, whether it was all the Jews in the Midbar. But now, the one tekiah first says, stop what you're doing, refocus your attention towards one single thought by means of the single note. Everybody, we're all going to focus together away from all your separate thoughts now onto this one thought. Then the cessation and breaking up of this preoccupation by means of the broken note. So first is stop what you're doing, focus. But now it's pull yourself away from what you're doing through that shaking, through that breaking up sound. It's telling you, look inside yourself and pull yourself away from what it was that was having your attention until now. And then he says, in a further advance in a definite direction by means of the final plain note. So now we're going. So everyone focus on the next move away from where we are. That's how come that sequence was there to tell us, stop what you're doing, pay attention. Uproot yourself from where you are currently, and now let's move towards the new direction we're going in. That's traveling in the Midbar by the Chatzotzros. Says Hirsch, I'm going to just read straight out of Chorev. This is in Chorev in chapter 32 of, it's in volume 1. These ideas, when applied to Rosh Hashanah, where Trua also is composed of Tekiah, Trua, and Tekiah, convey the following lesson. Tekiah calls you from your continuous living in an outer world and from the dissipation of your powers and energies to introspection and to turning upwards towards God. And so it brings you through your innermost self to God, because we're busy with our own stuff all the time. So the first tekiah in the sequence is focus towards Hashem, away from your own personal things you're busy with. Trua bids you, let this newly gained conception of God permeate the whole of your present inner and outer life. Your erstwhile thoughts, feelings, words, deeds, and pleasures. The good things you enjoy in your inner and outer life today. immerse your complete self in this rock-shattering God concept. Test your thoughts and deeds to see whether each and every one comes up to standard. So that's a lot he just said there. In other words, the occupation with life is fine. God wants us to be involved in the world, to earn a living, to go shopping, to interact with humans all around us, to do stuff in life. That's the stuff of life. But what this is asking us to do is, now that we've started with the first tekiah, which he says turns us away from ourselves towards God, now we're doing a little bit of self-evaluation. Where in all my actions is God? It doesn't say stop what you're doing, stop going shopping for the rest of the year, stop interacting, stop being a regular human and become a malach. It's saying, is God in all your interactions and all your involvement in the world? Go see yourself. Look at yourself through this moment where everything's being shaken up. And then teruah, right, that's the same idea. Teruah makes you quiver. It softens you. It subdues you before God. Okay. Then tekiah, however, puts strength into you. We're moving ahead now. Gives you courage and lifts you out of this state of languidness, out of this disintegration of things past to a life before God, which ever after will be unified, straight, and strong. So the whole sequence, tekiah, trua, tekiah, or tekiah, and this breaking up sound, and this singular sound at the end, is really an evaluation of who am I, and what am I up, how's my life doing? First, focus on Hashem. Think it all through about all my actions. Is it really doing all that? Am I really living that way? And with the new resolve, after you've thought about it, now move ahead. He says a beautiful, brilliant thought, that if you think about it, this really is one of the key messages in our Rosh Hashanah davening, where we say, U'seshuva, u'sefila, u'tzedaka, ma'avir nesor and gezerah. Why those three things? What is teshuva? It's to turn yourself away from yourself back to Hashem. And after hearing enough of what we've been saying over a series of shiurim on the word tefillah, tefillah is self-judgment. It's looking into yourself and reevaluating and making sure that you're living as you should. So he's saying it's a sequence. First, teshuva, think about Hashem. Then, with that in mind, now tefillah. Do that introspection. And tzedakah, he says, is moving forward towards a righteous life, as you should, a pitoro. That's part one. For today, I'm going to add one more piece to this, which is something that, after you hear this, there's a lot to think about after this, which we'll do, I think, on our own, and then we'll come back next week and think about it some more. This is what he says. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, the three components of Rosh Hashanah of Musaf, are these same three ideas. How so? Well, Malchios, that section which has 10 psukim, it starts with a summons of the master. Hashem is the Melech. So again, we said the tekiah alone, we're playing on multiple levels here. Be aware of that. We're thinking multiple dimensions at the same time. So not only is the tekiah a call to Hashem, but the whole notion of Malchius is a call to think of Hashem, our master. And during that reading of all those psukim, we're asking ourselves, am I really Hashem's servant? Do I look at Hashem that way? Teruah, which we said is a self-evaluation, Zichronos is the same thing. It's Hashem the judge. We'll have to look next week at all the psukim and see how that works. We'll have to be creative and see if that fits. But that's what he says here in part one, that Zichronos is itself, Hashem is the judge. He remembers, he's looking at our life, and we too should be judging ourselves. And tekiah, the last tekiah, that's shofros, which he says, this is his very interesting chiddush. The shofar reminds us of the shofar at Har Sinai. It's Hashem, the father, the teacher. where if, just as we said, that last tekiah in the sequence is moving ahead with our new determination, so it's that shofar, which is on one hand talking about where am I heading, it's also a universal look. He's going to get into that, as we'll see next week, with the psukim. Some of the psukim are an allusion to where the whole world is going. Some of them are very personal, how the individual is going. So at this, we're thinking on multiple levels as we go through the second part of Musaf and the psukim, which we'll hopefully have a chance to really understand as we go through it next week. But that's the general overview here. He says there's a pasuk like that in Yeshaya, ki Hashem shoftenu, Hashem mechokekenu, Hashem malkenu, hu yoshienu. So he's the mechokek, that's the lawgiver. He's malkenu, he's the melech, that's the master. Hu shoftenu, he's our judge. All these three are really malchiyos, zichronos, and shofars. And essentially, all these three are what's going on in tekiah, teruah, tekiah. As far as how it came to be that we have two different kinds of what the Torah calls teruah, just to keep it real simple, it's a machlokas, and this is the compromise between the different opinions. But essentially, he says, when a person comes to evaluate himself and he's feeling bad about his averus, there's two stages to the sorrow and to the self, what you're doing within yourself when you realize something isn't right and it needs looking at. Shvarim, he says, is the initial shock when a person realizes how low he has sunk. It's the outcry of being unworthy. And it's a groaning, he says. Where trua, those nine short ones, that's like a whimpering. And he says, that's the continuing pain of a past that's misused that cannot be recovered. When you feel that there's a whole section of my life, I don't even remember what happened. There's so many parts to the year, I can't fix that. I just don't know what to do with myself. That's a whimpering. So he says, initially, the first thing is the shock. Oh, I'm really not where I should be. And that's the first groaning, which then after that, a whimpering. It's like it's a certain stuck. I can't believe this is where I'm at. It's the aftermath of the initial shock. So that's how he understands the two. But either which way, the sequence is the same. We are first calling ourselves away from our own self preoccupation, allowing the emotions to, like you said, to rock our whole world, to shake us up, some sort of a crying. He says the reason why by the midbar, it was made out of silver, and when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's made out of the horn, besides all the allusions to the aisle of the Akedah Yitzchak, which is all very true. He says it's also very natural. It should come from a human. This is not an external manufactured thing. The Chatzotros was some external focusing. We're going to pick up and go. We're going to travel now. But this is much deeper. It's more profound. It's who am I? It's there we need to have something that's more natural. The whole itself shouldn't be like something that you created a whole out of something that wasn't naturally going to be born. It should come naturally. So to his own words, he says about that. For summoning the congregation is described in Bamidbar. Chatzotros, clarions made of silver, made by the skilled hand of man, were sounded. They were used only for the purpose of outward order in the camp. But the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, however, whose purpose it is to rouse the purely divine in man, no artificially constructed piece of work may be sounded. It must be an instrument in its natural form, with life given to it by the breath of man, speaking to the spirit of man. But you cannot attain to God by artificial means or by artifice, and no sound which charms the senses, but which does not appeal to man's better self, can raise you to God. So, in a nutshell, this is the beginning of our thoughts of Tekiah Shofar. I read this 3 years ago. I gave a share on this once. It's exactly like this. And I must tell you, after really letting this sink in, and I chazed it a few times, that year and since then, my Tekiah Shofar is a different Tekiah Shofar. Because instead of, you know, we know what the, up there, what the guy who's blowing the shofar is doing and what the rav is doing. He's looking at his watch and he's calculating how many seconds it all has to be within a certain time frame. They're preoccupied with that. But this gives us a real something to work on, to think about. Where we're going to go with this next week, just a little snapshot, a little hint, is that all these three ideas are sequenced within three different themes. Because Malchius has these three, Zichronis has these three, and Shofros has these three. In other words, there's a concept of a Malchius, Zichronis, and a Shofros within Malchius. There's a concept of Malchius, Zichronis, and Shofros within Zichronis. And there's a concept, again, of Malchius, Zichronis, and Shofros within Shofros. And all that needs to be, because that's what we're saying, that's what Tekiah is like the Malchius, Trua is Zichronis, and Tekiah again is Shofros. So if that's happening with all three, then this whole emotional evaluation and this whole sequence of emotions is really to be processed while we're hearing the Tekiah Shofar in different ways with each segment of Musaf. So how the Psukim do that and how that plays out in our thoughts, so Hirsch actually has a little piece on this in another part of Chorev where he talks about Tefillah. It's a whole section in Chorev called Avoda, and he has a long paragraph on Rosh Hashanah Musaf, but he mostly leans on what he says here. But you'll appreciate what we know already about the word Baruch, because he throws that in later. So that's enough for now. It's enough to think about. But if you want to do some homework, I would recommend opening up over the week a Machzor for Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Notice the different psukim in each one of the sections. There's three psukim from Chumash, three psukim from what it says, Divrei Kachacha, which is really Ksuvim, and then three psukim from Navi, and then a tenth pasuk in each section back to the Chumash. And that's, in each section, there's 10 psukim like this. So then we can maybe together, collectively, once we're familiar, start figuring out, if we can, how all of this plays out while we're davening the Rosh Hashanah Musaf, and how what the machshavas would be as the different kinds of themes are played out in this sequence over here.